Right? So how dita dolokal tuba? So you have this statement of admission, which is written, and then you have two edim signed on it. Right? But it's not written amarlono kitvu v'chitmu v'havule. In the document, it's not documenting the instructions from the individual to write this, sign it, and give it. So our question, or what we're fearful of, is that he never intended for this to be a dut, or he never intended for them to write this down. Right, that edim do not sign on the ishtar, we saw this actually in Baba Batra, that we don't have to be choshesh that edim signed on a contract, or here's an individual who's transacting on behalf of the estate, or on behalf of his father's possessions, and we assume that the edim would not sign on such a document if the individual was a katan. So the basic, or the concept, is that edim sign when they know what's going on. They don't just sign willy-nilly. They don't say, you know, can you just put your signature over here? But they actually understand what's happening, and they wouldn't just create a document unless the person had instructed them to make such a document. So we don't worry about the fact that the edim did something without the instruction of the lovei over here. So matkevlar rapapi v'itim ravuna b'reidu v'shua mi'ike midi de'analo yodinan b'safrei de'beidino yodi. So sorry, well, again, we had this topic also in Baba Batra, we had this statement. How is it possible that there's something that we halachically are unsure of, but we didn't know about, yet all the Sofrim, right, seem to know that this is the case? So they go, Shalino the Sifrei de Abayu, Safrei de Abayu, we spoke to the Sofrim of Abayu, Viyadu, and they knew this halacha. Safrei de Rovo, Viyadu, and they did know the halacha. I mean, that it was common knowledge amongst the Sofrim that such a, right, concept existed, that the Edim, you know, make sure that the Edim know what they're talking about. They don't sign unless they have instructions from the Levit to do this. So, in Ochanami, that is, it was a common practice that they were, seems to be unaware of, that people made sure that, and how we ensure, once we've had a signed document, why it has tokef, is because the assumption is that it was checked into, and that nobody just let it happen willy-nilly. Right. Hayo Odita, Dagotav Bay. So they have another Odita that's written in it. Katuv Bay, Duchran Pitkamei, V'chol Lishnei de Beidina. It has, you know, all the words, all the wording that we need. It has the Lashona Beidin. They were not written, this is your question, Shaul, what's the difference between Edim and Beidin? Or here we have an Odita that says it, or in the form of Beidin, and not in the form of Edut. It's not here, we are testifying to such and such a fact. Rather, it's that this was as a Beis Din, they came before us, so. Aval, but it was missing. But the only thing is that it was signed, alright, by two individuals and not three. Now, if it's a Beis Din, you needed three people, how come it's signed by two? So we had this in the Gemara Baba Basra that we want you to actually have it. You should indicate in the shtar that there were three of us originally, and then one person left. So it shouldn't be mechsei kishikra. It shouldn't look like, how do you have a Beis Din here, and then only two people are signed on the document? So Sabar Ravina Lameimar, I know the Reish Lakish. This is another member of Reish Lakish, which is the concept that chazoka, that ain't Beit Din kotzvin shtar ela kedat ve'alocha. I mean, it's the same type of statement. Reish Lakish said here before Be'edim. I'm saying again, by Beit Din. If we have Edim, our underlying assumption is if Edim are signed on a document, the document's a valid document. So same thing here, you have a Beit Din. The assumption is if somebody writes Beit Din and then they sign it, they did it kedat v'din, like a Beit Din should do it. Why are you assuming that everybody knows what they're doing? Right? And here we've been dealing with, when you're dealing with Shlosha and a Beis Din, you don't necessarily have to, we're not clear if it's smuchin or not smuchin. You could have a situation. How do we know that these individuals really know what they're doing? And how, like, Shaul, you're asking, what is the, aren't there possibilities that people make a mistake or they tried to do the right thing and they didn't end up doing the right thing? Why are we assuming that everything is considered to be, right, kedat v'din and everything is proper? So, Amarav Nachman Yitzchak, ikotuba beidina tulo tzorech. So, if Nachman Yitzchak says, well, once the word beit din appears in it, that already gives it a certain amount of tokif. The word, nobody just puts Beit Din in it unless they're really acting as a Beis Din. It says, V'dilma Beit Din Chatzufu. Who says? The word Beit Din doesn't mean, you know, that we know that they have three or that they had all these other parties. We have another day, the day of Shmuel, right? Which is, Damar Shmuel, Shnaim Shadonu Dinayim Din, Ashnikre Beit Din Chatzuf. Right, so two people that do a din, they are considered a Beis Din, but they're a Beis Din Chatzuf. Now in our situation, it's different. Here we don't need, we're not looking for a Pesach Halacha, we're looking for a Beis Din. We need a Beis Din because we're documenting a statement or admission by an individual. Now, if it was with Edim, if it's before Edim, we need him, or Metaltalim, we need him to be Shekonomi Yodo, right? We need to have a Kinyan. If it's Mekarke, you don't need a Kinyan. But if it's in front of Beis Din, we said before, we waive a lot of the requirements for admissions before Beis Din that we require by Edim. But it's only if they are a Beis Din of Shalosh. Right? So if you don't have three individuals in the Beis Din, they acted, they're calling themselves a Beis Din because they're two, then we run into a problem because they're using the shame Beis Din. But for our purposes, they don't, for all, you know, for our purposes over here, they're not classified as a Beis Din because there's no three here. So Dichtiv Bey, so no problem. Dichtiv Bey Dina de Ravona Ashi. So it's written in it, that's the Beis Din of Ravashi. So Beis Din of Ravashi also, you know, it's not just Stam Beis Din, it's the Beis Din of Ravashi. Once you have the Beis Din of Ravashi, we've taken away a lot of these problems. One is that we know it's a Beis Din. Number two is we know that there's no Beis Din Toin, right? Because it's Ravashi. So we don't have to suspect it. Ravashi makes an interesting comment here about Ravashi. He says, the Haidunakot Ravashi, the Fisha Beituinu Haya Rosh Bimei Ravina. His Beis Din was the major, or you know, the central Beis Din at the time of Ravina. Ushnehem sidru gamara shel Talmud Bavli. So they both, Ravina and Ravashi, put the Talmud Bavli together. And so when Ravina was documenting this section, he mentioned the Beis Din of Ravashi, who was his contemporary, right, major or central Beis Din. And therefore, v'yamav nemru dvarim alalu v'gvu b'gemara. So in the time of Ravina, that's what the statements were made, because who was, if you were a Beis Din of Ravashi, there were no questions, because that was the central Beis Din. So it's the equivalent of Beis Din HaGadol of their time. So that was why it's used as Beis Din of Ravashi, and that's what was said at the time. And then Ravina documented in the Gemara based on that.
It's a paragraph.
Right, exactly. It's not that any document that says Beis Din of Ravashi, then we're okay. Right, it says in that time period it was good, and another time period you have to get the Beis Din that is considered to be a qualified Beis Din that nobody would question. Where it says, it's Vedilma Rabbanan de Ravashi Kishmul Svirlihu. Wait a minute. Okay, we know we can trust Ravashi in terms of halacha, but how do we know that the Beis Din or the Rabbanan of Ravashi don't hold of Shmuel? So, I mean, that's a valid psak halacha. It's not that they're outside of halacha or they're doing something wrong if they hold of Shmuel. But if they do hold of Shmuel, that means that they would still call two individuals a Beis Din. And for instance, psak halacha, Beis Din, it works, and it's considered a Beis Din chatzuk. But for our Indian here, three and two are not the same. Two is Eidut, three is a Beit Din, and the big difference is because of the perspective of the individual standing before them. So the individual says Eidim, he has to act in a, either he'll say, I'm misachik, right, that I'm playing around, wasn't true, unless it's clear that what he's doing is acting to have them be Eidim. In front of a Beis Din, he no longer has that option. In front of a Beis Din, it automatically grants a certain amount of gemirat adat if he doesn't for Beis Din. So if the Rabbanan of Ravashi held of Shmuel, it doesn't help us over here. Where it says, Dechtibbe v'amar lan Ravana Ashi. So over here, it's not only that it's in the Beit Din of Ravashi, Ravashi told us, or said to us. So in that case, it's Ravashi himself, and we know it doesn't hold of Shmuel. And therefore, we don't have that problem, we don't have that issue anymore, because Ravashi himself gave the stamp of approval on this document.
What is what he said? So then we would say no.
It's not, that's when two people are signed on a document that says there is already a problem here. It's not like this is a clean document, right? Right. But in Achanami, you're right. You need all these qualifications because you have a problem in the document that they're two Edim signed on a Beis Din. It says Beis Din. If you had three signed on a Beis Din document, you wouldn't have all these issues. Then it would be a properly executed document.
And, you know, well, maybe they hold
we're talking about shame Beis Din versus Beis Din. And that we can call ourselves a Beis Din when we're two. Even though our third guy left, we're still a Beis Din. We can't give Pesach Halacha and it's considered Chatzuf, but we're still qualified. We're still called a Shem Beis Din. So that's what we're looking for here in this document, because the document says Beis Din and who people sign. So can you call two people a Shem Beis Din? So Shmuel offers that possibility that you could call them a Beis Din. I think that, not from the sense that they think they can give a Pesach Halacha necessarily, the Chatzchila. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Amalayam echad, ani ra'iti avichem, shitmin ma'ot b'shida teva u'migdal, v'amar shoplonihem. I saw your father, you know, store away or, you know, stuff away into the safe, a bunch of money, but he said that it belonged to so-and-so, or shall my sersheni him, or that his money is my sersheni. But If it's in the house, lo amar klum, he said nothing. But if it's out in the field, devarav kayamim, his words are kept, or meaning that we believe him. Why? Kloloshol davar, here's the principle. Kol b'shir yado litlan devarav kayamim. If he had the ability to go take the monies and not have to alert the individuals, then we believe him. Why? Because he could have just taken the money and handed it to the person it belonged to. The fact that he didn't go do it on his own volition, he didn't walk in and take it, and now he tells us it, we say migo that he could have done it himself, we assume that he is telling the truth over here. What is not true in the house? If it's in the house, lo amar klum, because he had no other way to access the monies. The only way for him to access the monies is to speak the yatomim. Now he loses his migo. His migo is not there anymore because he couldn't have acted otherwise. The only way for him to act is to access them through the yatomim. He also says, well, why isn't there another migo here? Because he by shatik. He could have just said nothing. Migo that he could have said nothing. And the fact that he actually stood up and said something, that should grant him certain amount of nemanut.
So his, what
does he mean by saying that? Right. So he says, Tosa says that that's not a migo. Because if he's silent, they won't end up with the right party. So you can't say, his silence does not, what you're saying, his silence is nothing and does nothing to the case. So silence can't be the migo. The alternative of being silent is not a good alternative, because it's not really an alternative. Because if he's silent, then it will never end up in the right place.
Okay.
Right, so his only option is to say something. So he couldn't say that's not a migo. Right? Haray sheruot avien sheitmin ma'ut v'shidat teva u'migdal. Again, footed away the money. But marshal ploni him. But here, instead of it being a third party that's viewing this, this is the children themselves seeing their father stash away the money. And he says, and they belong to this individual. Shomayso sheni him. Im kimoser dvarav kayamin. If he's telling them information that he wants them to know, as if he's telling them, listen, you got to take care of this money. Then we say, take care of it. If he's trying to, you know, get out of the way or hide the money from them, then he didn't say anything. Meaning that if his intent over here is simply that he didn't want the kids to get to the money, so he says, you know what, this isn't our money, this belongs to so-and-so, so they don't go in and help themselves to the money in the closet. Right? Or, right, he doesn't want them to think that he's rich, and they're going to start spending more money because he has money. So in order to have them not feel or sense that the money belongs to them, he lies about it. So we say in that case, they can go ahead and use the money. But it's all about the circumstances and context in which it's said that will determine how we think about what he is saying over here. This individual knew that his father had a big stash of cash, but he didn't know where it was. So he was in pain. He was in pain because he knew he was rich, but he just couldn't get to the money. So what happens? Uba bala chalom. Bala chalom, over here, Rashi calls the Sar of Chalomot. Did him a favor and came to him in a dream. This is how much money it is, and this is where it's found, but little problem. Shemai Sushenihem. They happen not to be yours, right? Or they belong to someone else. I mean that he gave him all the information about where to find the money, but he also told him they don't belong to his father. They're not yours. Zaya Masa, this had happened. Vamru, so they said, when it comes to chalomot, it doesn't help, it doesn't hurt. I mean that we don't, what's said in a chalom doesn't have impact halachically. Even though it helped him to get access to the money, the only reason you would say pesha hitter, pesha asur, right? Right, exactly. That's what I had to get to. Right, you would have thought pesha hitter, pesha asur. The only reason he got access to the money is because of the chalom. So he shouldn't be believed that it doesn't belong to him. No, we say pagin and tibura. With regards to finding the money, he's believed. Right. When it comes to the who it belongs to, we don't believe. He says, what right does this sara chalom have to tell you whose money it is? So therefore he gets the money without having to pay it out to the other individuals or to give it to Meiser Sheni. Right, Shnayim Omrim Zakai. So back to our Mishnah, about you have a split decision, where you have two saying Zakai or two saying Chayav, the other one disagrees. Now they want to know, Michtei Echektive, how do you document such a decision? I hear today in Israel and America, same thing, when they document the court decision, they document this so-and-so for so-and-so against, and many times you're even having the dissenting opinion being written up inside of the decision. Even though they're not going to be passing in that way, we're not going to halacha because they lost, the dissenting decision is written, because many times later on, and this we find in halacha also, that we say, why don't we erase the opinion that's wrong? It's because many times later on, somebody sees some value in that opinion, whether it's laheter, or meaning that things change, and that opinion becomes a valid opinion. In America, it happened with Brandeis, who happened to be a Supreme Court justice, who was always in the minority, and he always wrote minority opinions. He was ahead of his time. People weren't there. Later on, almost all decisions moved in his direction based on his minority opinions. But the fact that he was able to place his opinion there is what later on people were able to see that and move with it. So it's interesting here. How do you document this? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai. It says, like you're suggesting, you're Zakai. You just write Zakai. What does he have to know besides that? We and so-and-so said Zakai, and so-and-so said Chayav, or the other way around. Ploni, Ploni, Amar, Chayavim, Ploni, Zakai. So we actually document who his opinion is, so and, is which and which. Now we have to understand, how does that fit? Right, how does that work with the Mishnah? No, why?
If you're documenting what
Zakei Mamre is, that I disagree, and then I hold my opinion against the Psak Halach. Over here, he's agreeing to the majority. He dissents in opinion, but he submits. Right, he submits to the majority over here. You can disagree, in a court. Belozer Amar, Midivrayam Nizdake Ploni. From their words, Ploni is Zakai. Okay, my Ben Hayo, what's the difference between us? So Gemara is going to try a number of Nafkaminot. Ike Ben Hayo Lushlume, Ihu Mante Ba'adayu. Question here is whether the third judge, what happens if a mistake is made in the case here, in the conclusion of the case, the adjudication, and it's found to be wrong. So what happens in that case? The judges have to pay out of their pocket and compensate for the loss that was made here. Who has to compensate here? Do all three judges have to compensate here? Only two out of the three have to compensate here. So the Mandamar Zakai, the one who says that you just say Zakai, Mishalim, he's on the hook, because they said Zakai. Zakai means the whole Beis Din was Mizakeh. Right, the manda amar ploni ploni mezakin u ploni mechayev, right, or the other way around, ploni ploni mechayevin u ploni mezakeh, right, either one of those two options, then he's left out. He's not held accountable. He made clear that his opinion was against the majority. So lo mishalim. So Mar says, u manda amar zakai mishalim. One says that even if you write zakai, why should he have to pay? Leima lehu, ili didis atinun, if you had listened to me, you guys wouldn't be on the hook either. I mean, why should I be on the hook? Because you guys made a mistake. I told you what it should be, and you didn't listen to me. Why should I be on the hook here? Question is, are they responsible for his portion? According to him, Zakai means it's a single opinion of the court. So here, since they went with the majority, and they caused his opinion to be Zakai also, they got to pay his portion of it. Right? Or the manda amar, according to one who says ploni uploni mezakin uploni mechayevo uploni ploni mechayvin, right, uploni zakai lo mishalme, right, then they won't have to pay up in that case. They pay his portion of it because he's identified as being a dissenter, so they didn't take responsibility for his decision. They'll take responsibility for their decision. Now the outcome of the decision. So that's very important here, how you look at the decision. Do you look at the decision being that once the majority, we discussed this before in Beis Din, if you look at the decision of Beis Din, when you have two versus one in a Beis Din, what is the Beis Din's decision now? Is this a unanimous decision of Beis Din, and therefore they're responsible for anything that happens? That's what the one who's saying Zakai. Or do we say that the majority rules, which means that there's still a two versus one, right? Each one has their own opinion and entitled to their own opinion here. In the end, we account for what the number of opinions are, and we say the decision is such and such because the majority is that way. But that does not mean that the decision is a unanimous decision. That means each party is responsible for their part of the decision. The Gemara is going to reject this in a second, but I just want you to know, but I think it's different that where you say, when two versus one, when it comes to Psak Halacha, the din is over. Acharei Rabim Latot. That's it. The din goes after the majority. It doesn't mean that everybody agrees, but the din goes after the majority. When it comes to personal responsibility as a Dayan, then it's only the ones who paskin in that manner that are going to be responsible. You can't make the guy who said no responsible for it. Again, his opinion was nidche because of the majority. But then you can't say to him, pay now, because you were nidche and pay a majority. I think, in the end, I would agree with you. Like, if they're the ones responsible, they should have to pay the whole thing. But here, so now the Gemara says, well, the Gemara Zakai Mishalme, the Gemara goes the other way first. The Gemara says, oh, what? For the ones who say Zakai, they actually have to cover his party? Like, they're not willing to have the other Dayanim cover his portion of it. Why should they have to pay his portion? They should say to him, Ilav at behadan. If you hadn't been here, lo avasal kadinamide. There wouldn't have been any psak halacha. So I don't like this logic for a number of reasons. One is, so what are you suggesting this individual should do? Right? What should you do here? We know that there are two, in terms of the third party here, you have two guys who say chayav. The third one has two options. You can say zakai and disagree, or you can say any yodea. Now if he says any yodea, the din falls apart. Right, so what do they suggest? What's the Gemara suggesting at this point? He should say any yodea, or should recuse himself from the case so that he's not responsible, rather than say oppose their version. I don't necessarily understand the logic over here. Why would you ask him to dissolve the case rather than state his opinion? I think it's a strange habit. All right, here, this is the real difference between them. The issue here is the problem of this is what you were asking before. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to go out and say, listen, I couldn't do anything, so-and-so said this, I wanted to make you zakai, but they didn't listen to me. In that case, you can't go out and say that that's lo delech rachil be'amecha. You're going out and you're speaking poorly about others. You're telling other people information that they shouldn't know or they don't need to know. Right, so Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai Mishum Lo Telech Rachil. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan says, like our Mishnah, that you can't document the opinion separately because that creates this problem of Lo Telech Rachil Be'amecha. Shlach Shamar, Ploni Ploni Mizakin, Uploni Mechayev, or the other way around, Ploni Ploni Mizakhayevin, Uploni Mizakeh, Vishom Demechse Keshikra. So he says that otherwise it looks like you're lying. That's not what happened in the case. You have to tell what really happened in the case. You have to state the truth in the case. Rabbi Elazar, itlay demar, v'itlay demar. Rabbi Elazar is a compromise position, which is that I have both. I don't want lo telech rachil b'amecha, but I also don't want it to look like sheker. So what do? Hilka kat ve'yochi midivrehem nizdakeh ploni. From what came out of this case, we are mizakeh. That doesn't mean that everybody said zakai, but it means that the conclusion of the case was zakai because of what transpired in the case. So that's it. Obviously the halacha is like that, it makes the most sense. That's a way to protect the dayanim from being exposed about whose opinion is which, but it's also not mechse kashikra because it doesn't indicate that we have unanimous decision. Saying that I think you would have to use this lashon in all cases, otherwise it would be indicative of the fact that there wasn't a unanimous decision, or you could say that, okay, so what, that it wasn't a unanimous decision, we're not identifying who was in the opposition in the non-uniform decision. So I assume that you can have one of the other. Maybe here the Gemara sounds like Shaul, what you're suggesting, is that it's only in non-unanimous decisions that they write this. Kamrot davar hayu machnisim, which says in our Mishnah, which is unclear, after they finished whatever they were doing, right, after they finished the deliberations, they say, come in. So Gemara says, Laman, who are they telling to come in? If you're talking about the litigants here, they never left. So where in the Mishnah does it indicate that the litigants left, that they have to bring them back? We bring the Eidim in. Come on, who's this like that you have to bring the Eidim in? This is not like Rabbi Natan, the Tanya. We had this brought twice in Baba Batra. Remember the first time it was brought in Baba Batra, the Rashbam has an unusual explanation of this. Bright, we won't get into it. I just remind you that there we had the Rashbam's unusual explanation. But here, Lolam, Ein Eidim Tam Mitzterefet, Achir Shneim Kechad. Tanakama here believes that both Eidim have to witness the same event at the same time. Shulman Kach Omer, Afilu Bezeh Achar Zeh. Even one after the other, even in a sequential manner, are they classified as having seen the same event, and that's a good Eidut. Right, this is where the Rashbam had an unusual pshat of what does it mean zachar zeh versus what does it mean shneim keechad. Right, the shneim keechad have to be the same. They saw at the same time the same event, or that they're talking about the same event. That's enough to be keechad versus zachar zeh. Does zachar zeh mean that they saw two different events, or that they saw the same event they just saw it at different times? So the Rashbam had an unusual shita here of saying that it was, even the Tanakhama saying that it could be two different times. It just can't be. It has to be talking about the same event. Right. The next machlokas in this braita, which is not related to the first machlokas, which is they're Beis Din. They have to testify together in Beis Din. I mean, it's not only that they have to. Well, we don't know if they have to see it because the first two are not connected. But it's not only that they have to come to testify in Beis Din; they have to come to testify in Beis Din together. All right. Right, so then the two Eidim do not have to show up simultaneously or at the same time in Beis Din. We accept their testimony at separate times. So now going back to your question or the Gemara's question, what does it mean? Below Karabi Natan. That's exactly what it means here. The Beis Din's insisting that the Eidim come in together again because the first time they appeared to us, they appeared separately. So in order to conclude the case, we need the Eidim to appear together in Beis Din and just repeat what they said or highlight what they said. So now we have the testimony together. Rabbi Natan obviously would not require that. I said, the Mara says, well, the Olam, the Balei Dinim, we're talking about the Balei Dinim, that the litigants are coming back into the court. Rabbi Nechemia, it's according to Rabbi Nechemia, the Tanya Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Kachayam in Hagam Shonakiya Dat Yerushalayim. This was the minhag of those that acted appropriately in Yerushalayim. I'm not sure why any Beis Din would not do this. They bring in the litigants, hear what they have to say. They bring in the edim, they listen to what they have to say. Then they throw everybody out, and they deliberate. Why would you ever want to deliberate with the Bali Dinim sitting in front of you? Right, if you have a question about how you should sign the document afterwards, forget about it. They know what happened because they were sitting there watching it happen. So why would you ever have the Bali Dinim? So that's Nikia Dat. That's the proper way to conduct the court, is that the deliberations are done with the Bali Dinim outside. And then afterwards, that's why you're calling them in over here. Vatanya. Don't we have a brisa gamru et davar machnisim et edim? So don't we have a brisa that explicitly says here that you bring in the edim? So hi, he the local Rabbi Natan. That brisa is obviously not like Rabbi Natan, because that brisa demands that the edim come together at some point in time. So gufa, the olam ein edutam mitzarefet et chiru shnehem keachad. So now we're dissecting the brisa that we brought before. This is the first half of that brisa, is that they have to see it simultaneously. Even sequentially, it's enough. It's okay. But my kamiflagay, what's their machlokas here? It's either a pasuk, a drasha and a pasuk, or it's illogical. What's the logic here? Right, so when you're talking about why do they have to see the same event, again, there are two ways to formulate this. That has to do with this Rashbam and Baba Bacha. Do they have to see the exact same event at the same time? Or do they have to see an event that indicates that they're seeing about the same loan? That the person is talking about the same loan and the same item? That by definition it's talking about the same case. Now they have to actually see it simultaneously, but they have to have knowledge that they're seeing it simultaneously. So that's the Svara here. Because if they don't see it, or they don't see the same case, what do we suspect? They're seeing two different events. They're talking about two different items. Alright, he borrowed money twice. He borrowed from one individual, then he borrowed from another individual, or he borrowed from the same individual twice. How do we know they're talking about the same case? The only way to know if they're talking about the same case is to see it at the same time. So that's what the law, that's what they're arguing about here. When they testify, does it matter? Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha says, why does it matter? We know Reuven owes Shimon 100 according to one witness, and Reuven owes 100 to Shimon according to another witness. Does it matter if they're talking about the same 100 or a different 100? In the end, he owes him 100. Right? Whether it's the same one or a different one, he still owes him 100. And therefore, they edut together, the common denominator between the edut is that he owes him money. So that's the question here. Do you say the common denominator is, and therefore it's a good testimony? Do we say no? If it's talking about two different cases, you can't use it. Some say the machlokes is about a pasuk. This is by shvat edut, where the person says you got to show up in Beis Din. If he says you have edut to tell, and you're not coming, they make him take a shvuah that he has no edut, and it turns out that he really had edut to say. So b'tanya mimashmash nemar lo yakum aid. It says lo yakim aid. Aid in the singular. Any yodeshu echad. How come I don't know that he's already echad? Matam lo mar echad. When he uses in the pasuk eid echad, why do I need the modifier echad? Eid is singular. Why do I need the modifier echad? Zebnei av the chol makom shnei eid arikan shnayim. That comes to teach you whenever the word eid is used in the Torah, it means two, and that's why it has to come and say echad to limit it to one. Ashevon the chal katuv echad. Va'afkei rachmana levishon chad. Why did if it's really done at edim and not eid, why does it use a lashon of singular? So that's my answer. Is the meimar eid dechazu tarvayu kechad. That's being aid that in the singular they have to see it together. I mean, that's the use of singular is to indicate to you that you must see the event together. Beidach b'hu aid o ra'a o yada mikol makom. You have to find out the information. We don't care how you get the information. We just need you to know the information. If you know the information, you both know information about a certain case, that's enough for us. We don't need you to actually know the information or find out the information at the exact same time. All right, now this is the second half of the brisa. What's the machlokas here? That this is a logical argument. That it's a pasuk that they're darshining. So this was answering your question. Why does it matter that they come together or they come separately? The problem is that one doesn't know about the other. They don't know about each other, and they show up in court. When this aide shows up, he thinks he's a single aide. When he shows up as a single aide, what's his intent? What can a single aide do in a case? The only thing he can do is mechayev shvuah. But he can't be mechayev mamon. So therefore, we say, he showed up in Kibbor. We say that all he intended to do was create a shvuah. He didn't intend to be motzi mamon. Even when they come together, they're not speaking simultaneously. They're speaking one after the other. Ella, right, mitzarfinu lahu. Hachanami mitzarfinu, like you're suggesting, Joel. Why don't we just assume, people should assume that there might be another eight in the case, and you'd be put together? And that, who says that it has to be, that you can't be put together in the end? You have to make an assumption that you might be end up being a full eight dude. Seems that it's a pasuk that im lo yagid v'nasa avono. Right, so over here, it's, if he doesn't speak up, he'll have to carry the burden of not speaking up. Right, so now what is it? The kuli amal k'rabbonon, the pligalei de Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Everybody holds like the rabbonon that argue on Rabbi Shua ben Karcha that say that they have to see it simultaneously. They both agree that they have to witness the event simultaneously or witness the same event, even if it's not at the same time. Depending on how you explain that. The question is there a hekesh between testimony and sight, seeing the actual event and testifying about the event? One holds, which is the Tanakama. Tanakama says that their testimony has to be the same way that they witness it. Just like they witness it together, so too they have to testify together. And Rabbi Natan says, no, they're two separate issues. They have to see it together, but they don't necessarily have to give over the testimony together. So that's the machlokas is either premised on this idea whether we're makish haggadah to ri'ya, or we have to do with whether it's a logical argument to say when an aide shows up in court. Do we assume that when he comes as a single aide, he only intends to be motzi, to be created shuvah, not motzi mamon? Or do we say to him that he's got to think about the possibility that there'd be somebody else and he'd be put together with them? Right. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, Rabbi Mishtakid Alei, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, Lemis Mechei. So Rabbi Shimon Eliakim was trying to get Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, Asmicha. Lokom Istai Milsut. They didn't get a basin together, it just didn't work out. Yom Achad, Rabbi Yotiv Kameh, Rabbi Yochanan. They were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Lo, Mi Yike Diyado Alocha, Rabbi Shimon ben Karcholo? Does anybody know if the Alocha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcholo or not? So Amar Lo, Rabbi Shimon Eliakim, Den Yada, he knows. So Amar Lo, Leima, Ezo, let him speak up and say. Says the Amalei, first give him smicha and then we'll talk. There's like a little bit of extortion here. Says to him, you want to know the answer? Give him smicha. So Samche, he gave him smicha. So Amalei, Bni, Amalei. No, I fulfilled my half of the deal. Speak up. Ketzai Shamata, what did you hear? Amalei, Kach Shamati, Shemode Rabbi Shimon Karacha, the Rabbi Natan. Shimon Karacha agrees to Rabbi Natan's position. So what is it? Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, who says that they don't have to see it together, he agrees to Rabbi Natan that they don't have to come and testify together. He says, I needed you for that. Hashto ma'ikar ri'ya ba'adei adadi. Right? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha lo bein an agada. Here in the actual case where you would assume they have to see it together and see the same case, over there we don't. Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha doesn't make any demand that they be together. Agada b'mai. You have to tell me they don't have to testify together? Right? That's in a case or with the assumption, we saw that from the logic above in the Pasuk. The Pasuk, what do they want to be Mekish one to the other? They said, you know what's right? We know that for sure they have to see it together. The only question is, do they have to testify together? So you see that it's clear from the logic or the limit in the Pasuk that what's obvious or what's more obvious is that they have to see it together. Right, the lower question or the sub-question of that is we have to testify together. So here, Rav Shimon ben Karcha doesn't require them to see it together, witness it together, then he doesn't have to require that they testify together. So I needed you, but he says, then listen to Rav Yochanan, says, I'm like, oh, valita, lo tered. Since you already got smicha, I can't strip you of your smicha. You got it. So I'm Rav Zera, Shvamina, Gavarabo, Kinda Somich, Somich. Right, so once a Gavarava gives smicha, that's it. You can't retract the smicha, you don't take it back. So here it worked out, he got a smicha, even though Rabbi Yochanan wasn't so happy that he had granted him smicha. I'm Rabbi Chir Bavin, I'm a Rav. Alocha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, ben b'karkaot, ben b'metautlin. Right, so the alocha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, that you don't have to witness together, whether we're talking about karka or whether we're talking about metautlin. Ula amar alocha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, b'karkaot, of lo b'metautlin. That's true by karka, but it's not true by metautlin. Why? Why is it different? By karka, if a person comes to testify and says, so-and-so said he sold his karka to, Reuven sold his karka to Shimon, another witness comes and says, Reuven said for me that he sold his karka to Shimon. So now, both witnesses weren't there at the same time. But how do we know they're talking about the same case? Because we're talking about land. By land, you're obviously talking about the same piece of land. Because it's identified, it's clear what it is, and there's no two pieces of land that are, you know, mean the same. If he says to him, Reuven sold me land on, in this plot, then we know what he's talking about. By metaltalin, that's not true. By monetary matters, you can say he owes him 100, and you can say he owes him 100, but they're going to be talking about totally different cases. Just because you owe money to an individual doesn't mean that the two testimonies are a single testimony about the same case. We don't know. It's possible they're talking about two different issues. So when it says, according to you, Ula, who says that Aloch is like him by Karka, not by Metalton, you're indicating that somebody argues by Karka? Even the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Chishuv ben Karka's position that you don't have to see it simultaneously by Eidut Karka. So we know that Chachamim agreed him by Eidut Karka. What are you coming on and say, Aloch is Rabbi Chishuv ben Karka? What are you adding for us? We know that the law of Shuvan Karka by Karka is a Chamei Greeter issue. There's nobody argues there. So what are you adding for us? V'tani Rabbi Yidi Bar Avim B'Nizok in the Beit Karno. So in the Mishnayot, or the Breitot of Beit Karno, we found in Ksubos. Remember, he's one of the Tanoim that's found in Ksubos, in the Mishnayot there. So these are external Mishnayot that were not canonization of the Mishnah, but they were still Mishnayot to Beit Karno. It says over there, Modim Chamei Rabbi Shuvan Karka in these three cases. Beidut Bechor, Beidut Karka, Beidut Chazaka. So in these three cases, plus the Ben and Bat case, in all these cases, the Chachamim agreed to Reb Shum and Karcha. What are these? I'll finish this up and explain what these cases are. Karga, Gavra, Gavra, Karamit? Right? You're saying, wait a minute, you're asking from a position of Ula from other Amorayim. He says, Mar Sever Pligi, Mar Sever Lo Pligi. Right? Ula, who says Allah is like Reb Shum and Karcha, thinks the Chachamim disagree, even by Karcha. So then, okay, so Ravidi doesn't think that, and Ravava doesn't think that, but that's not Ula's problem that they feel that way. He can disagree, he can think they do argue, and he gives up Sakalocha. Says, your question's not a valid question, because you're bringing a question from parties who are equal standing and can disagree about the point that you're making. Alright, now, the Gemara is going to discuss what Ben and Bat are, but what are the three other cases? What's Edut Bechor? So Rashi claims Edut Bechor, he first rejects one answer, which is Edut Bechor is not that a Edim are coming to testify that a Chacham was Matir this Bechor. That said this Bechor was okay, it has a mum in it, and now you can eat it. That's not what we're talking about over here, because even one is, by Isurim, even you need to have one Ed, you don't need two Edim by Isurim. Chad Ed Echad Nemar Bi Isurim. So that can't be the issue over here. The question is, Edut Bechor, going to Rashi, is that they bring a Bechor to a Chacham to look at, and he's a Kohen. He's a Ro'er Kohen. Over there, the Mishnah in Bechorot, and the Gemara in Bechorot says that Kohanim are not Ne'emanim. Why? Because the only way for them to eat this animal is to put a mum in it. So they were chashud for putting mumim into an animal. So Rashi says he has to come to Beis Din with the mum and have Edim that he didn't do it. But the mum happened by itself, and not the Kohen did it. So that's what Rashi claims the case of Edut Bechor is over here. That we're bringing two Edim to testify about this individual that he didn't do it. So over there, we don't require that they saw it together, because again, we're talking about the same mum. One mum, it's not going to be a different... I mean, if they come and testify at different times, we're talking about a single object that's not moving around, not changing. Tosafos, on the other hand, says, no, Edut Bechor is here talking about that he heard his father say that he's my Bechor. Talking about Bechor Lenachla. Is this individual a Bechor Lenachla? The father said about the same individual in two different instances that he's a Bechor Lenachla. So again, the object of our conversation is the same. That's why all these are the same, because Karka, Bechor, and the last one, which is going to be Edut Chazaka, we know we're talking about the same object, because it's static. The object is static. When you're talking about Metalfilin, the object is not static, and that's the problem. And now, what about Chazaka? What's the case of Chazaka is where one testifies that he lived there for 3 years, and then another one testifies he lived there for 3 years, but not the same 3 years. They testify over a 6-year period he lived there, one for the first 3 years says, and one says for the second 3 years. But together they both say they lived there at least a minimum of 3 years. So that's the question over here. So, but we know he's talking about the same Karka, talking about the same Chazaka, so again, the object hasn't moved or changed, and therefore there is a testimony is one. Question is, what's the case of Ben Ubat? So that's what Gemara asks here. My v'chein shebebein ubabat. Ilei ma echad omer achat begava v'achad omer achat bekrisa. We're talking about here a girl or woman that reaches the age of being a gadol puberty. So one testifies about the seara on one side and the other one on the other side. Hai chatzi davar v'chatzi edutu. Forget about one edut. Here we're talking about it's not even a whole davar. It's half a testimony. And it's half a shiur. The shiur is shtei se'arot. If you only see one se'ar, you're seeing nothing. You didn't see anything. You come to testify about shtei se'arot. If you come to testify about one se'ar, we'll throw you out. There's nothing to talk about. So not only is this not a single testimony, you don't even have a shiur to testify about. You're testifying about half an object. That doesn't help us over here. So that can't be the case. Ella, what it must be? Ella, echad omer shtayim begabav, echad omer shtayim bekrisa. Now they both agree that she has shtei sarot. The only thing is they disagree where. She has to, where it is, what they saw, where they saw the shtei sarot. So now we have two testimonies. The common denominator between the testimonies is that they have shtei, she has shtei sarot. Problem is that they're not identified in the same location. So Amar Rav Yosef, Ano amina shmei de'ula halacha k'rav shuben karcha, ben bekarkot, ben metaltelin. The halacha, as we heard from Ula, which is that, not like we just said before, that Ula says only by karka. Here they said, we heard from Ula that the halacha is of shuben karka, whether it's karka or metaltlin. Rabbanu da'atum b'chuzah, the Rabbanu come from b'chuzah, Amar Rabbi Zeir mishmei d'rav, b'karka ho'tein, avom alo metaltlin. Karka, yes, the halacha is like of shuben karka, but metaltlin, we know. Rav litameh, and this is Rav according to his own reasoning. Dama Rav, hoda achar alva, mitstarfe. Alva achar alva, alva achar hoda, lo mitstarfe. So you have two edim will come in. If one says that he admitted in front of me he owed money, the other one says he admitted in front of me that he owes money, then he mitzdarfe, they become a single testimony. Also, a doa achar alva, if there's a loan outstanding and then the guy admits that he owes money to the person that he supposedly lent the money to, he was borrowed the money from. You have one aide that said he borrowed the money. Another aide comes along and says he admitted to me that he borrowed the money. So those are mitzdarf. Alva achar alva, on the other hand, if you have one witness that he lent the money in front of him, and another witness that he lent money in front of him, there we don't say they're mitzdarf because it could be two different loans. Also, if he borrowed money after the Oda, one guy says, he said before me that he owed money. Then the next guy says, I saw that he lent money. That again, we don't say they're connected. Why? Because we can assume. Maybe it's talking about a totally different loan now. Lo mitzdarfe. So ask Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, Malay, Maishna halva achar halva, to lo. Why when you have a loan after a loan, do we say no? Demana kachaziyai, lo kachaziyai, because we say that they're testifying about different loans. Meaning there are actually two loans outstanding. And when they testify, they're testifying on two different things. So the Gemara says, the question that Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to Rav Huna was, okay, but that should be the same thing by Hoda. By Hoda, achar Hoda, nami, amana dekam modekamei, hai, lo modekamei. Why can't you say the same thing by Hoda, where Rav says it is if it's Tziruf, that they can get together? Why don't you say he's admitting that he owes the money about one loan, and he's admitting to the other party he owes the money, but it's about a different loan? Damalei, so this is, the Gemara says, this is very interesting. Damalei, l'hai batra b'hai mona dodei lei kamech. In the second case, he says to the witness who's witnessing it, you are witnessing an event, I'm telling you I owe money, like I told the individual beforehand. All right. That idea that you include the previous witness in the statement. So it's Odile Nami Kame Poloni. Just like you admitted in front of so and so beforehand, come and admit before him too. When it says Akate Bacho Yoda, the second witness knows that they were both talking about the same case. Kamalo Yoda, but the first one has no idea what case he was talking about. The Hadar Azi of Amale the Kama, he goes back and tells the first witness, I'm one of the Odile Mi Kameh, Odile Nami Le Kame Poloni. So he goes back to Ferdinand and tells him, you know that mana that I said I owed? I also told so-and-so that I owed it. So he enjoins, by giving this information to the Edim, he enjoins them and says, listen, you know about Ploni, and you know about Ploni. I'm telling you that you now know all the information you need to know. So I'm like, hey, tinoch datcho, shetinachta dati. Says, oh, thank you very much. You put me at ease over here. Baruch Hashem, you did this. You should be, you should feel at ease because you put my mind at ease. So I'm like, hey, my nechuta. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he gives him this explanation, says, what type of explanation is this? The Rav Lavi, Tamer Rav Sheshit, Shadu Banarga. They threw a monkey wrench in. That the Ravuna and Rav Avva and Rav Sheshit questioned my whole explanation. So yeah, it sounds great, but they question the explanation. Lav Aino de Hoda Achar Hava. Wait a minute, if you say that that's the case of Hoda, then that's exactly like the case of Hoda Achar Hava. He says, Amalei, Aino de Shmirli Aleichu, de Ramitu Diklev Zakfituhu. That's what we heard about you type of guys. You guys cut down trees and then plant them. And then you come up with an answer that sounds great, and then you knock it down. You don't have any consistency. You don't have a conclusion over here. You guys are building and destroying and building. You don't ever come, not coming to a final psak. So now what does it mean that it's like Hoda Achar Alva? Why does Hoda Achar Alva work? It's because first witness witnessed the loan. The second witness is told that he was owed money, and he says, you know that money that I borrowed in front of so-and-so? You owe it. So now how do you differentiate between the case of Hoda Achar Hoda and Hoda Achar Alva now? They all become the same case now. All the cases are, the witnesses know about two statements. Each witness knows about the statement of the other witness or statement done in front of the other witness. So now, what do you need two cases to tell me about that happens? Hodah Achar Hodah and Hodah Achar Hodah now turn out to be the exact same thing. Each aide who's told in front of him that money was owed is told also about the other party. So now you only need one case to explain it, you don't need two cases. So based on that, he knocks down that explanation. Mitztarfot. Everybody gets together, they're all mitztaref. So, come on, who's that like? Rabbi Shimon ben Kachacha. That's like the halacha that we see from Rabbi Shimon ben Kachacha, that all edim are mitztarfim. If they testify about two different issues, if they're testifying at two different about two different sightings or two different cases or times that they witnessed an event, they're still mitztaref. Explains why Rav is according to his own reasoning over there that we say when we it's clear they're talking about the same case, then we say that Allah has like Yeshua ben Karcha. But when it's unclear who the object is, then we don't pass on like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. And that's what Rav laid out over there, the difference between Hoda Achar Hoda and Halva Achar Halva. Amar Rav Yehuda, Edut Hamacheshet Zu Et Zu BeBidikot. If you have two witnesses come and testify, and in the B'dikot, the extra question that we had to ask afterwards, they contradict each other. And Dine Mimononot, it works. The words of Rabbi Yehuda make sense when one testifies that it was a black wallet, and one testifies that it's a white wallet. One of them says it was white money, or something white. The other one says it was something black. Ain't mitztarfin. Right? If one says black, one says white, they're not mitztaref, because then you're talking about the object itself that was lent, borrowed, sold, whatever it is, that the object is white and black, then how can you be testifying about the same case? You're talking about two different items, totally. Mar says, Anakish Khunrab is dinin efashot lo. You're saying to me a white wallet or a black wallet, it was dinin efashot, you wouldn't put them together? One says that he killed him with a sword, and one says he killed him with a dagger. That's not one testimony. One says he's wearing black clothes, one says he's wearing white clothes. Nachon is, right, that you have to say, that's talking about a capital case. In a capital case, we're saying that if each of the witnesses says he's wearing different clothes, that's still considered a same testimony. Why? It's not in the Sheva Chakirot, which could make him into an Eid Zomeim. So here it's an outside factor. It doesn't really make a difference in the case, whether he's wearing a white shirt or a black shirt. We try to see from there to be Malamed Zchut, to try to upend the Eidim. But in the end, it doesn't uproot the case. It doesn't change the case. If he's wearing white or black, even in Dinei Nefashot, we would agree that that's one Eidut. So certainly by Mimononos, that would be a single case. Right, and that you don't need this statement of Rabbi Yehuda, right, to say this, because the Rebbe goes up, Mistab makes a lot of sense. Why did it make a lot of sense? You didn't need it at all. We could have learned that from Dinei Nefashot. If it works by Dinei Nefashot, why shouldn't it work over here? Gavra Karamit. What do you mean? You're asking a question from one to the other. You're asking a question from Rav Chisda on Rav Yehuda. Right? Meaning Rav makes a statement that Rav Yehuda makes sense over here. And then you question Rav Chisda, who says, by Dinei Nefashot, we say this is okay. Why does Rav Yehuda have to tell me this by Dinei Mamonos? Wait a minute. It's two Amorim we're talking about here. So Rav Chisda says this, Rav Yehuda says this. Rav Yehuda doesn't have to agree to Rav Chisda's position over there, and that's why it's okay. His statement is logical and is valuable here, because maybe he doesn't hold that position of Rav Chisda. He doesn't hold the position of Rav Chisda. When he talks about Dinei Mamonos, there's some value in what he says, that by Dinei Mamonos, we don't worry about Shachor and Lavan. Okay, we'll stop here.